Okay, so till now we've been discussing in somewhat amorphous terms Maka Hayadua Shemitzi Adam, Maka Sheni Shemitzi Adam. Under what circumstances you have the right to be Tola B'Maka. Let's focus now on what exactly is the kind of Maka in more practical terms that we are referring to. And we'll see there are probably three major shitos among contemporary poskim as to what kind of maka potentially is tola a bull for our purposes. So where is the maka and what kind of maka are we discussing? So in the lashon of the mechaber back to Sifhei, im yesh maka ba'oso makom tola medam makasa. So we're talking about a maka ba'oso makom. That sounds like a maka in the rechem, which is lashon hagemara. And that's what the Shach says over here in Sifkatan Yud Zion. They were talking about a maka bit makor. That's more mefurash in the Shuvas Maran Lublin that the Pesach Shuvah quotes in Sifkatan Kaf Beis. Afilu im hamaka hu bebeis harechem b'makor atzmo. Even if the wound that we're speaking of is in the uterus itself, Shemisham neve adam nida, which is the source of regular dam nidas, mikol makom tahorahi utalina medam makasa. So a maka in the rechem itself is tolable, even though it's coming from the same place that regular dam nidas would come from. Meaning it's pashut that if you have a maka that is from outside of the rechem, a maka from any other area in the body, a maka that we would call or poskim would refer to as minastadim, a maka in an area that is not the rechem, then it's pasha that is subject to taliya. And Maram Lublin writes here, and that's the simple reading of the Lashon HaShulchanar, simple reading Lashon Gemara, is that you could even be tola under certain circumstances, perhaps, in a maka in the rechem itself. Rav Avadya points out, you have the Lashon also in Tosefta. Rav Avadya is Yabia Omer Chelok Yud, Yeridea Simon Yud Zayin, Yabi Omer Cheluk Yud, Yeridea Simon Yud Zayin, quotes Tosefta Perches Halacha Beis, Perches Halacha Beis. The Lashon of Tosefta is a woman is Nemenis to say she is a Maka, quote, Min Hamakor. And that's Lashon of Rambam as well, Perches Halacha Yud Dalid, Maka Shigesh La B'Makor. So all these sources indicate that we're talking about a potential Taliya, even if you have a Maka in the Rechem itself. So usually Osamakom refers to the vaginal area, but here Osamakom refers to the place which is a normal source of dam, which would be the rechem. That's what the Shach explains here in Sifkat and Yutayin. Right. So usually when you use the term osamakom is a reference to the vaginal area. Okay. But here, that's what the Shach explains, in this context, osamakom is a reference to the rechem. Which is the uterus. Right. Fine. So all this indicates that we're talking about a potential taliya on a maka in the rechem itself. But then the question is that true for any maka in the rechem? Is that only true for bleeding that's at a different time than the regular cycle? What are the potential restrictions of a maka, the rechem, as far as when you can be told on a maka? Yeah.
So you can even be tola maka in the rechem, but you
can
also be tola maka in the vaginal area.
It's obvious you can be tola maka anywhere outside of the rechem. That you don't need, that there's no chiddush in, right? If you know that there's a maka anywhere outside of the rechem, that's pasha, you can be tola on that. The question is, can you be tola on a maka in the rechem itself? So
why is that more of a chiddush?
Because that's not uterine blood. The only dam that's metame is blood from the rechem, right?
So shalas back dam that is from the rechem,
but it's from a maka, so can you be told on that dam? Right? If the dam anywhere other than the rechem, that's never metame. The only dam that's ever metame is dam in a rechem. But here we're saying, even if you have dam in a rechem, but if it's from a maka, then that is potentially tolerable. So we have to explore under what circumstances is that the case. Rabbi Morgenstern points out in his Hagdama to this topic in the Nisbach to Perakei that there are clearly many instances in Shas where you have Dam coming Menarecha, and that's not part of the normal cycle, which is Dam Tame. You don't need, it's not only Dam that is shed as part of the normal menstrual cycle that is going to be Metame woman. There are other situations where you have Dam and Erechem that is Tame. So for example, he points out the Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph, most of these are sugas that we'll get to later in the Limud, but in Daf Yud Aleph, if you have the case of Kafs of Rasa, that a woman sees Dam as a result of certain acrobatics or certain physical movements, which is not Dam part of the normal cycle. It's not a time that she expects to see Dam, but there's uterine blood that comes out due to some extreme acrobatics that the woman will do. Or you have a Gemara in Sama Gimel, the case of a woman who eats certain foods, and those foods causes uterine bleeding, even though, again, that's not part of the normal monthly cycle. You have an Ayin Aleph, Dam that comes because of machmas pacha, because of fear, because of some emotional situation, or the parallel to that dam chimud, which we'll talk about in one of the coming shiurim. So those are situations where a woman is going to see uterine blood, but that's not part of the normal menstrual cycle. Yeah.
Wouldn't there be room to say that? I'm not sure I know enough about this to really make a call, but there's a difference between some external factor causing a regular uterine blood flow versus like an external wound. It's all like
100%.
It's something different. It's like a physical thing in there is causing the bleeding to happen versus like something happened to make your bleeding happen off cycle. It's the same blood, quote unquote, as opposed to like an external wound.
No, correct. We're just laying the groundwork to establish that as a starting point, it's not the case that the only uterine blood that's going to be metame is if it comes as part of the normal menstrual cycle.
I mean,
we're just establishing,
not a riot, then
right?
Right,
and then we're going to go further and say, well, that being the case, where does that maka fit? But we're just establishing that there are multiple instances where a woman will become tamea because of uterine blood that comes out, even though that blood is not part of the normal monthly cycle. Okay. The Darkei Tshuva is the Munkacher. Darkei Tshuva in Sifkatan Nun Hei quotes a Tshuva of Dvar Shmuel. Dvar Shmuel was an early Italian Achron, Shmuel Avuav. As far as I know, there has not been a reprinting of the Tshuva's Dvar Shmuel. So the only text that we have is this very hard to read printing. So Dvar Shmuel in Simin Ayin Aleph discusses the status of blood that is attributable to Tchorim Ba'rechem. Usually Tchorim are hemorrhoids, but there's no such thing as hemorrhoids in the Rechem. So presumably he's referring to fibroids. Fibroids are a kind of muscle growth, or tumor growth, that builds on the endometrial lining, that develops in the uterus, and can cause bleeding. So it's not part of the endometrial lining per se, but it attaches itself to the uterus and causes bleeding. So the Dvar Shmuel there writes in Simen Ayin Aleph about these Tchorim Barachim, about these fibroids that cause bleeding. Shuma hamishava ba'osamakom din v'shem maka yeshla. That if you have a growth that comes into existence in the rechem, so even though it's in the rechem, but it's a growth that's independent of the actual endometrial lining, it's something that attaches itself to the walls of the uterus, so that would have the status of a maka, and dam that is caused by uterine fibroids would be Tahor. And the Drash Mill writes, the Darki Tshuva writes that this is presumably Muskam. He says if you don't say Lidvar Shmuel, then you can never have a case of a Maka Berechem that you can be told a Daman, because you'll always have to be Mistapek as to what the source of the blood is Berechem. Meaning, if there's a notion that there's such a thing as a Maka Berechem that you can be told the Daman that's going to render the woman Tahora, so it must be the distinction has to be between dam that comes out of the regular shedding of the endometrial lining, as opposed to dam that's part of some added growth that attaches itself to the walls of the uterus, and the latter maka would be subject to such a tulia. So that's the Dvar Shmuel in Siman Ayin Aleph. Jumping forward a few centuries, Chuvas Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Yud Zayin, Siman Lamed Zayin. Chelek Yud Zayin, Siman Lamed Zayin was asked by Rav David Cohen Shlita of about fibroids. Tes Zayin Teves Tav Shin Mem Hey. So Tzitzel Yazir writes, he was asked about fibroids in the Rechem. Is that considered dam nida? Is that considered dam maka? Because on the one hand, maybe you'll say that it's the same source of dimum, meaning it's all coming from the rechem. So what difference does it make if the dam is coming from the regular shedding of the lining or whether it's coming from the fibroids? In which case it would be regular dam nida. Or you could see that the fibroids are an additional growth. It's not part of the uterus. It attaches itself to the walls of the uterus. So that looks like a maka. It says it's Eliezer. Hine l'nias daiti nir l'horos l'hater. Mikaven she'ein zu re'iya normalit. This is not the normal way of re'iya, because they look like makos. And you could consider it dam machmas maka. And he quotes the Dvar Shmuel. And he says that the basic distinction is this part of a rea normalit? Is this something where the bleeding is caused by the same cause as the monthly shedding of the endometrial lining, or is it something distinct? So this is not the normal way of re'ia, and therefore it should be considered a maka besocha rechem that you can be told on. So says Tzitz Eliezer. Yeah.
How do you spell this word, fibroids?
Fibroids. Google it.
Yeah,
Google
it later.
Okay. Nishmas Avram quotes from Shlomo Zalman in the new edition of Nishmas Avram. It's on page 150. Along these lines, Afal Gav Shamaka Motzi Adam Gam Be Osam Hagidim Hamispakim Bishas Havest. Even though the maka is causing blood to come out from some of the same veins that cause regular uterine bleeding, regular menstrual bleeding, mikol makom dam nida hu rak hadam sheyotze me'elu kedarko ba'ofen ativi. But damnida is only if you have the normal shedding of the endometrial lining in the natural way. So even if you have something that is connected to the kosel harechem and connected to the endometrial lining, and behind it is really the same source of blood as regular uterine bleeding, But if it's not coming out as part of the normal way that a woman sees dam, a normal ri'iyah, then that could be a damaka that is tar. Shlomo Zalman is machmir still, that if you have this kind of a maka barechem, and you have bleeding that is samuch to her vest, not even samuch in the strict halachic sense, not just the onus mukhal vest, but it sounds like even a few days before, meaning you're approaching the time of the month where it would be normal to have your ri'iyah, so then Shlomo Zalman sounds like you should be machmir, and you can't just rely on the fact that there's a maka barechem. But short of that, Shlomo Zalman is generally in the camp of what we just saw of the Dvar Shmuel and the extension of the Tzitz Eliezer. Yeah.
Any other time of the month, if she has a maka barechem, we're gonna assume that she's tahora, even though we're not sure exactly if it's coming from the maka or if it's coming from the
right. Barechem. If you know if it's a maka yadua shemetzi adam, you know that maka barechem exists, and it's a, let's say, a fibroid that you can identify. So then, if it's not samuch or biyamim asmuchim levesta, then you can be told on that makam. And the Chazon Ish in his Sefer in Yeridaya, Simon Pei Aleph, sounds like he goes along these lines also. We'll see a little bit later. Chazon Ish may say something differently elsewhere. But the Chazon Ish in Simon Pei Aleph, paragraph beginning, Aval, writes, Aval Mashi Yesh Ladin Bazeh, Humidin Sheyesh Lamaka V'Tolin B'Makasa. Actually, let's, I can put on the screen since the computer open, even if the Zoom is not working.
Before
we're
getting that, I assume this would all be without
a
hargasha. So there's
this would all be without a hargasha, right? If there's a hargasha, then you can't be told of a maka.
But she feels as if a stubborn lach by the makor because of the maka. The dam is coming from the maka, not from the.
Well, it depends on what kind of hargasha you're talking about. Right. In practice, if a woman has a hargasha ziva stavar lach, so then it's arguable that you could connect that to the maka. Also, if a woman in theory would have hargasha piyam makor, which we don't really have, then that wouldn't be tolerable. Do you mind just turning on the monitor? And there's a button on the bottom. There you go. Oh. Yeah, okay. Let's get this a little bigger. Okay, so the Chazon Ish writes, Ubenidon didan lefi divrei arofim hababuos motzios dam bevadai bishas vest. So here we know that there are these makos in the rechem that are motzios dam even bishas vest. Im kein yesh lahakel af bishas vest. Right, Rosh Hashanah we just quoted saying that bishas vest you shouldn't be mekel. The Chazon Ish says even bishas vest you can be mekel. The A longer the need on the dan garret fei came in the dam of vest over derech hababua. The A kan dam makel dan need. Maybe we'll say what do you mean? So you have a fibroid that's in the uterus, but if it's a shas vest, so the normal uterine blood that's coming out of the lining is going to be coming out potentially at the same time. It's going to go over the fibroids. Everything's going to get mixed together. So why are we concerned that there's also regular tummy blood that's coming out? Karcha ze'eno, dimkein, nafla taras maka bibira. If that's the case, then you can never have a maka that is tahor. Didilma dam nidus over derech maka. You should always be concerned that maybe, even if you know there's a maka there, maybe there's dam nidus coming out too. So as long as you know that there's a maka there, you don't have to be choshesh that there might be regular dam nidus that's getting mixed together with the dam maka. Because if you were to be choshesh for that, then you never have a tzir where you could be tola on dam maka. Right, that's what we saw the Darkei Tshuva saying in quoting the Dvar Shmuel, that if Dvar Shmuel is wrong, then where do you ever have a case of Dam Maka that you could be told on? Okay, so that's the Chazon Ish here in Siman Pei Aleph, which seems to be consistent with the Dvar Shmuel and what we've quoted until now. Yeah?
Against the Ramah, though? Doesn't Ramah say that the Shas Vesta, you can't be told on a Maka?
The Ramah says that the Shas Vesta, you can't be told on a Maka. By a maka she'ena yadua shemotzi yada, right? Yet if it's a maka yadua shemotzi yada,
I thought you were saying even.
Because of the isha she'esh la veskavua. But a maka yadua shemotzi adam, then you could be told even b'shas vesta. That's b'shas vesta mamish. No, but if you look at the Shachter in Sifkat and Kavav, that's Bistam. But in Margeshis Ata Shadam Zebam and Amaka, Fil Bishas Vesta Tahora. Right, there are situations where you have a firm yediya that this is Dam and Amaka, so then you can be told on that even Bishas Vesta. So that's the seer where you could be told even Bishas Vesta.
She would never be Tamei.
I'm sorry?
She would never be Tamei.
No, she would be Tamei, because she's not going to be Margeshes that this is Dam and Amaka every time. But the argument, what the Ramah here is saying at the end, is from, that's what we saw in Tosfos and other Rishonim, that if you're going to be Tola, even B'Shas Vesta, so then women will always be Torah. So that's true, if you're going to be Tola B'Stam, every time you see Dam B'Shas Vesta, you know there's Amaka. But if on some level you're margeshes right now that this dam is from the maka and you can connect the two, so even if you're b'shas vesta now you can be tola, that's there you don't have an argument that you'll never be to Meya, because the woman's not going to be margeshes that the dam is min maka every time she has a vest.
The difference between tzias and the dam in terms of like what it actually consists of, or is it just dam is dam?
Well, that's what we discussed last time, the requirement, or at least the qualification, that if Mishuna Damriyasa, then you can't be Tola, right?
You know what I'm saying? Like if I did, like, would there be like a DNA way of like figuring out like if this Dom came from the fibroids or was a typical Dom either? Like there, or it would be exactly the same, like there would be no way or actually not any difference. I was wondering, like, if you could tell, like, would that reveal the use of the thing?
You could tell through laboratory tests, we discussed this before, whether the source of blood is uterine or not. Can you tell whether it's from a fibroid versus the actual, I don't know, you have to ask the doctors. Postum don't seem to talk about that, so I don't know, ask the doctors. Okay. Now, in the Devar Shmuel itself, there's another tshuva in the Devar Shmuel in Siman Kuf Ayin that seems to say a little bit of a different hagdara. There it sounds like dam and arechem, even if it's not from the normal ri'iya, is going to be tameh. So Rabbi Morgenstern suggests to explain the two Dvar Shmuels and resolve what seems to be a stira. That if you have a makkah that's not in the lining itself, but a growth that attaches itself to the kosel yarechem, like a fibroid, so it attaches itself to the rechem, but it's not part of the endometrial lining itself, so then you don't have to be choshesh that dam nidus would be mixed together with the dam makom. So if you have dam coming, if you have a fibroid, you have dam that you can attribute to the fibroid, the fibroid is not part of the endometrial lining, and therefore you don't have to be concerned that maybe there's regular dam nidus that gets mixed together with the dam maka. But if you have a maka that's in the lining itself, even if it's not part of the normal monthly ri'iya, then that's going to be tame. So if there's some kind of a wound in the lining itself, then Rabbi Morgenstern suggests within the Dvar Shmuel to resolve what seems to be a steer between two tshuvas, then the Dvar Shmuel would agree that that is going to be tameh and you can't be tola adam and that kind of a makom. Now, as you saw, I sent you a series of letters of the Chazon Ish printed both in Hapardes. Hapardes used to be the premier halachic journal in the United States, and in Pe'er Hador, the five-volume biography of the Chazon Ish. So in Hapardes, it's volume Lamed Hei, issue Vav, and in Pe'er Hador, it's Chelek Dalid, Amud Kuf Lamed Aleph. Let's pull that up here. So there's a correspondence between the Chazon Ish and a certain Dr. Taub in the beginning of 1948, right before Hakamas HaMedina. You want me to zoom in more? Let's see. Okay. How's that? Yeah? More? Okay. So the I'm sorry, you come closer. The procedure that the Chazon Ish was addressing here was something that has not been used in many decades, but it was called air insufflation, which was, as I understand it, a, here, this is from JAMA, November 1927, transuterine insufflation for determination of patency of fallopian tubes. The use of carbon dioxide to determine the patency of the fallopian tubes has passed the experimental stage and now ranks as a necessary procedure in certain selected cases in every well-organized gynecologic clinic.
What's patency?
Whether it's effective or whether it works. Whether it can...
It works to do what?
Whether it works to allow for a woman to become pregnant. Whether it works to produce the eggs that are necessary for fertility. So exactly how this worked, I can't say, but it looks like the principle was pumping carbon dioxide or air into the fallopian tubes, which would test whether they're viable, and that would potentially result in some collateral bleeding. Potential collateral bleeding from the Rafem as well. So again, this is a technique that my understanding from the medical professionals is hasn't been used in many decades, but it was at least still being used in B'nai Brak in 1948. So the question was whether a dam that would be potentially caused through this kind of procedure is dam maka. So what's important in the back and forth is the hagdara that the Chazon Ish suggests over here, or his three categories in the second column. Ritzoni l'tzayin ki halacha kovas gimel inyane damin. There are three categories of dam. Number one, Moser Hadam Hanigar Minaguf Lachutz. So the what he calls the extra blood that is expelled from the body. Ke'ein Dam Apsoles Hamukrach Lasira Minaguf Shelo Yar Il Estam Achayim Zu Iker Ves. So the normal blood that's shed from the endometrial lining as part of the normal menstrual cycle, so that's part of how a healthy body operates, and that is the normal Ria, that's Iker HaVest, and that's clearly Dam Tamin. Number two, Dam Abashilobis Manavest, Ayide Onus. Sometimes you can have Dam that's also coming from the Rechem. It's not during Zmanavest, it's due to some external cause. Kubo Dechika, Ookav Rechem, Agar Nizilas Dam. Could be because of the acrobatics that a person does. It could be because of pressure on the area. It could be because of a wound in the rechem that causes bleeding from the endometrial lining. Uke'ein dama nozel machmas ledo apolar. Dama comes out as part of childbirth or a miscarriage. And then category three is dam haba machmas seret bor harechem. Dam that comes due to a scratch in the or harechem. Shad bitzbutz hadam bab oso haofen shabab pesa b'sharaguf. That the blood emerges or bubbles out the same way that it would if you were to scratch or wound another part of the body. So you have a scratch in the or harechem that causes dam to come out in the same way that if you scratched a different limb, blood would come out of the body there as well. So it says the Chazon Ish, Hashnayim Arishonim Mitzad Halacha Heim Osrim Esa Isha U'masrichim La'asacha Shashiv Nekiyim U'tvila. So categories number one and two, that's regular Dam Nida. V'adam Ashlishi Tahor. And category number three, if it's ayidei, a scratch, that's tahor. And the question here in context is, where does this dam caused by air insufflation fall as far as category two versus category three? It's not category one. It's a category three. A low paga bebasar shar guf. Gam keni amigaradam odam zeu misogashenam yucha betav arachem. So is this category three, where it's the same kind of a scratch or wound that would cause bleeding in another part of the body, or is it something that's more unique to the rechem and it's more analogous to a wound in the rechem itself causing dam, which he says would be tame. Then the answer from Dr. Taub is that it falls into category three. So according to the Chazon Ish in this letter, if you have blood that's caused by some kind of cut, abrasion, some kind of laceration, some kind of wound in the rechem in such a way that the same kind of a cut would cause bleeding elsewhere in the body, that's not going to be metame. But if it's a kind of a wound that's unique to the rechem, that amount of pressure wouldn't, or that level of cut wouldn't cause bleeding in another part of the body, and that's category two, and that's going to be tame. So, according to the Chazon Ish Sefer, where we started with Siman Pei Aleph, based on the Dvar Shmuel, it sounded like any makah in the rechem that's not any makah in the rechem where the blood is not coming out in the normal fashion of a regular re'iyah would potentially be da makah, and the Chazon Ish seems to be a little bit more restrictive, that there's another test. You have to see whether this degree of cut or laceration would cause the same kind of bleeding in another part of the body. And then, there's a subsequent letter of the Chazon Ish, which is printed in the Shulchan Shlomo on Refuah, page Kavav, I should also send you, which seems to be, at least the editor there, thinks that it's a continuation of this back and forth with Dr. Taub. And there, the Chazon Ish sounds like he might have been machmir even in category three. Now, as far as this category three, Rabbi Forst points out in Rabbi Forst, in the first volume, and then he expanded on this in the second volume, has a lengthy chapter on gynecological procedures. So in his version of this in the second volume, he just points out, this is in Chelik Beis, page 495, that it's hard in practice to apply the Chazon Ish's category 3, because the Kosei Arechem are much more sensitive than other parts of the body. So how do you assess what kind of scratch in the Kosei Arechem would be equivalent to a scratch in another part of the body as far as causing bleeding? Because the Kosei Arechem are much more sensitive than other parts of the body. So a scratch which would cause the Kosei Arechem to bleed would necessarily cause bleeding in other parts of the body. So it's hard to, in practice, assess what falls into that category. Rav Avadia writes in Chelek Yud Yeridei Simen Yud Zayin, He says, even a maka b'makor, which is scratched and causes bleeding, das gedol yachronim lahatir isha labaila, v'rak isha makor asmo nishkas, shenasa chalash v'rafoy v'yosim enudam, v'zein lahatir. So, if the blood is coming out because of the regular shedding of the endometrial lining, that's going to be dam tame. But anything short of that, even if you have blood that's coming from a scratch in the endometrial lining, is going to be tahor, without the distinction of the chazan ish between the level of cut that would cause bleeding in another part of the body. Not that he writes. I don't believe that the Chazon Ish wrote anything beyond, at least that we have, beyond these letters. Which again is different than what he writes in Sefer. So he just says it as Pashim. Rosh Hashter quotes another Hagdara from the Ragachavar. This is printed in Ginas Ego Simen Kaf. And the Ragachavar is in Safnas Paneach, New York, Simen Zion. So there, the Ragachavar writes, the context of the Ragachavar's tshuva is about Pidyon HaBen for a baby that is delivered through a forceps. Usually you can only have a Pidyon HaBen if there's a regular Leida, not a Yotzei Dofen. So if there's some assistance in pulling the baby out short of a C-section, is that halachically a Yosei Dofen, or is that halachically a natural Leda for purposes of Pidyon HaBen? So the Ragach over there defines a Leda as the pushing of the baby outside of the Kosei Rechem, the natural pushing out of the baby from the Kosei Rechem, and he says that's analogous to the definition of re'iyah. The definition of a re'iyah is dam that the rechem pushes out of the body. So the definition of leida is where the body expels the vlad. The definition of re'iyah is when the body expels the dam. So if you have a maka that causes dam to come out, that's not the body expelling the dam. That's not the normal shedding of the endometrial lining. That's some other goreim. But there, the Ragachavar says, that's not, if a woman has a maka, that's not, and dam comes because of the maka, that's not going to be nida deraisa, because nida deraisa requires where the body pushes at the dam. But it's still going to be temeya midrabanan, like a re'iya below Hargasha. So that the Makab Rechem will still be Temeya Mi Dirabana. Rosh Hashter just points out along those lines, that's another possibility as to how you have a Nida Deraisa nowadays without Hargasha, that according to this, Nida Deraisa means the Dam that's coming out through the normal expulsion of dam. And then hargash in general is a simen and not a siba. Hargash is a way of knowing that the dam is coming out as part of the normal natural cycle. But if you know that the dam is coming out as part of the normal natural cycle, even without hargasha, that still could be nida min ha-torah. So you could have nida deraisa. Nida deraisa means any time the dam is coming out as part of the normal cycle, the normal shedding of the endometrial lining where the body pushes the dam out. Hargasha is simply a way of identifying that, but hargasha isn't definitional if I know that this is a normal re'iya even without hargasha.
Or to have kula sasamen?
Would it have kula sasamen? So no, that would still be a re'iya midrabana. I mean, your re'iyah below Hargasha is still a re'iyah, So that's still more than that's a level up from a kesem, I think. The Iriya de Rabbanim wouldn't have kulas ksamim. Now, just to point out, the Rugachover elsewhere writes differently. In Chuvas, New York, Simon Reish Tzadivav Seif Dalid, Reish Tzadivav Seif Dalid. So there, the Rugachover writes that if a doctor inserts an instrument into the rechem and the woman sees dam, then she's going to be Tmeya min haTorah. So that's against what he writes in Siman Zion. I'm not sure how to resolve this, too. Just point out that the Rugachover in Reish Samichlos writes something very different than what he writes in Siman Zion. But Reish Shechter goes with what he writes in Siman Zion, and then that would end up with the potentially most chamor definition, or the most chamor approach to Dam Maka, that any Maka b'makor, any Maka b'makor in the Andromedial lining is going to be tummy. So let's just review what we've seen till now in terms of shitos. So we have the Tzitz Eliezer and Rav Shlomo Zalman and Dvar Shmuel Siman Ayin Aleph. And it sounds like Chazanish and Sefer and Simon Pei Aleph, that even if you have a dam in the rechem, and even if the maka, even if you have a maka in the rechem, and even if the maka is connected to the endometrial lining, even if there's bleeding from the endometrial lining but it's attributable to the maka, that's considered to be a maka tahora. And Tzitz Eliezer says that's not the re'iya normalit. And Sefer Pua, he quotes that Rav David Cohen is of that opinion also. Rav David Cohen is a shoel in that tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer. Right, so that's the most kuladik position, that any maka b'makor, even if it's in the endometrial lining where there is bleeding, if the bleeding is attributable to the maka, you don't have to be choshesh that maybe there's dam nidus mixed together. Okay, according to Shlomo Zalman, maybe if it's b'shas vest or samach vest, you do have to be choshesh, but in principle, you don't have to be choshesh that there's dam nidus mixed together with the dam maka. You can be tola on that maka b'makor. Then you have the position of the Chazon Ish in his letter to Dr. Taub, that if you have a maka in the rechem where blood is caused by some kind of srita, a scratch, in the way that a similar scratch in a different part of the body would cause bleeding, then that is not metame. And as you pointed out, it's hard to exactly be magdir how you assess that in practice. Rabbi Willig is inclined in principle to that position. And then you have the approach that Reish Shechter quotes based on the Rugachover, that any dam maka b'makor that comes out of the endometrial lining is going to be tummy. So any maka in the endometrial lining, even if it's a kind of srita that the Chazon Ish talks about, that is that the Chazon Ish should say is tahor, at least in that letter to Dr. Taub. Any maka coming from the endometrial line is going to be tameh, at least midrabanan. And that is, that's what Reish Shechter assumes lemaisa. That's what Rabbi Neuberger assumes lemaisa. Rabbi Morgenstern suggests a distinction between a maka that is coming, or a maka in the endometrial lining, and a maka in the muscle that is connected to the endometrial lining. Right, that's along the lines of his distinction to explain what seems to be a steer in Dvar Shmuel. If the maka is in the endometrial lining, that's going to be tame. If it's in the muscle, above the endometrial lining, that's going to be tahor. But Rabbi Neuberger pointed out to me that in practice, that's also hard to distinguish, to know what's coming from the muscle versus what's coming from the endometrial lining. Yeah.
Do the two points of the ocho are like half feet? Like, I mean, could you have said that it's only considered damnita if the body's pushing it out, and if the body's not pushing it out, it's tahora? I mean, do you have to say it's tahora d'vana?
I don't think you have to say anything, but that's what he says.
So if Shemler could, if Shemler holds of his of his gather, and he also holds
right.
the, of the Talmud
right.
of
Rambam. Mm-hmm.
But they're not necessarily linked.
Well, the problem is that there are too many instances where there is dam that we treat as dam nida, even if it's not part of well, actually, let's see, all the cases where you have damnida that's not part of the normal cycle, you still argue in all those cases it's the body that's expelling the blood? I guess that might still be true. Right, all the machmas onus cases. I guess that may still be true. Yeah, maybe. I guess I'll think about it. But anyway, that's what he assumes, that even short of that, it's still going to be Tamei Bidrabana. Yeah.
So just the Stira in the Roga Chavar is that also writes that, like inserting an instrument, Bidrabana, Bidrabana,
right,
as opposed to just
Rabana. Right. Okay. Now we haven't yet discussed, that'll be our next Sugya Psichas HaKever. The other parallel topic when it comes to medical procedures is Ein Psichas HaKever Below Dam, that even if you don't see any dam, if there's Psichas HaKever, maybe that's going to cause a woman to become Tamei, so that that we'll get to in a bit, not today. Okay, now the corollary to all of this is the once we have this idea of what kind of maka b'makor would potentially be dam maka that's tahor, right? And then, by the way, if you assume like the most restrictive position, like the Ragachavar, that basically any maka barechem is going to be tamei, so then you may have to say that the maka that we're talking about that is tahor is something that's not technically in the rechem, but samach l'rechem.
That's how it's going to be the shachar.
That's how you might have to do the shachar. Either it's talking about something that's in the rechem and not part of the endometrial lining, which either if you make that distinction between the endometrial lining of the muscle, or it's something that's in the rechem but not part of the endometrial lining. You would have to say, I think Rabbi Sobolowski has this in his need the book, or you would say, the second point, that for purposes of defining makav rechem, the rechem is more expansive than the actual rechem. Now, there's a discussion in Poskim, what is the rechem? We usually assume that the whole cervical area is not part of the rechem, but that's still a discussion whether the rechem begins at the external os, the internal os. So it could be that for purposes of damaka, you'd have to identify an area that's not really part of the rechem, but you still refer to it as rechem for purposes of makav rechem. Or the first way, that there could still be a maka somewhere in the rechem that's not part of the endometrial lining, like on the muscle, that would be dam tahor. Okay, but all of this requires establishing the existence of such a maka, and being able to then ascertain where the maka falls as far as our definition. So that's the related sugya, which is sifches of ne'emanus of rofim in general, and as relates to hilchos Nida. The Beis Yosef here quotes from a Sefer Truma Simin Kuf Zayin. Sefer Truma writes, Tzarech Iyan, if you could be Somech on Refuah. This is in the context of Roam Achmas Tashmish. The doctor comes along and says that he has a cure to the Roam Achmas Tashmish problem. So can you be Somech on such a Refuah even if the doctor that presents himself is fully credentialed, he's a Rofe Mumche, where the woman already has a Cheskas Tumah that she was Roam Achmas Tashmish Gimel Pamim. So we already established Cheskas Tumah on the part of the woman. Now a doctor comes along and says he has a magic cure, even if he's board certified, can we rely on his refuah? The Bach explains that the suffix of the Sefer Truma is, on the one hand, the woman is already huksaka gimel pa'amim, that she's Roam Achmas Tashmish. So she has a cheska sister. On the other hand, you have a cheskas mumchius of the doctor. The doctor is properly credentialed, so there's some muchzakus that the doctor should be relied upon. And on the other hand, on the third hand, even though the woman was already in muchzakus is Roam Achmas Tashmish, but you always have the possibility that maybe the dam that she saw Machmas Tashmish isn't dam in a rechem, maybe it's dam min hatzdadim. So, if you just had the cheskas tumah of the cheskas iser of the woman versus the cheskas mumchias of the doctor, then you'd be at a standstill, and the woman would remain the cheskas iser. But since you can throw into the mix something else in favor of the doctor, namely that there's an additional suffix, maybe the dam machmas tashmish was minestadim from the beginning. So then, if you have a doctor who has a track record, who was already matzliach in his refuah in the past, then there's more of a tzad to be somich on the doctor. So that's how the Bach explains what's behind this tzarech iyun of the Sefer HaTruma. That's the Shach quotes over here in Sifkat and Yud Ches from the Bach. Miyu Nira. Deim rofe za asa refuah zu leisha achas kodem she his kaska v'nisrapa yichole isha cheres lisma chalav af la'achas she niskaska gimel pamim umiteres l'shamish b'pam revias la'achar ha refuah. That's based on this analysis of the Bach as far as what's behind the suffix of the Sefer HaTruma. So with that analysis, it sounds like there's the Sefer Truma is willing, according to that, to entertain relying on the doctor, even where there's a cheskas iser of the woman. So it would seem with that analysis that there's even more reason to potentially be samech on a doctor where a woman doesn't have a cheskas iser. If, let's say, a woman is tok shiv nekiyim, as we discussed last time, according to most poskim, once a woman passes a hefsek tara and a first bedika, she's no longer a cheskas iser. So that cheskas iser has been removed, even if she's not tahora yet. So then, according to this analysis, there might be further grounds to entertain relying on doctors where the woman doesn't even have a cheskas iser. The smack, the end of Simon Reish Tzadi Gimel, the smack, the end of Simon Reish Tzadi Gimel, writes that after a woman is huksaka, tzarech iyun, im hu Yehudi rofe mumche, im tuchal lismo chalav, im lav. So the Sefer Truman didn't distinguish between a Jewish and a non-Jewish doctor. Smack writes that once a woman has a cheskas iser, tzarech iyun if you can rely on a Jewish rofe mumche. Sounds like it's pasha that a non-Jewish rofe you can't rely on. And the only question of the smack is, could you rely on a Jewish doctor? Right, so the smack says that where the woman has a cheskas iser, you definitely can't rely on a non-Jewish doctor. Maybe you could rely on a Jewish doctor. And he also doesn't comment on, let's say, there's no cheskas iser. So can you rely on a non-Jewish doctor where there's no cheskas iser? He's only talking about where there is a cheskas iser. So it's pashut in that where there's a cheskas iser, you can't rely on a non-Jewish doctor. If there's no cheskas iser, he doesn't address that. Shuvas Maimonios, in the back of the Rambam, and part of this is in the Agos Maimonios Yisue Bia Perek Dalid Halacha Kaf Aleph Defus Kushta Perek Dalid Halacha Kaf Aleph Yisue Bia Agos Maimonios Defus Kushta. So he's talking about the possible reliance on a doctor in the context of Roa Machmas Tashmish to establish that there's a cure to that situation. So he writes, V'od efshar, shafilu roa kishir esyom, ubiksha rofe v'asala refua. So even if a woman sees immediately after Tashmish, and she calls the doctor does something. The Amr La Shenis Rapis, the doctor says you're all cured. Shemeshameshes al smach diburo imhu Yisrael. That the woman can rely on the doctor's representation that he cured her and freely continue to engage in Tashmish if it's a Jewish doctor. Quotes Yerushalmi. Doctors believe to say that this is a kamiya mumcha with a track record. However, says the Agos Maimonios, I will aim biyadi lahatu al pi diber goy. Afil berofe de lomara anafshe. So I don't feel comfortable being matir this from a non-Jewish doctor. Dekrina Bay Asher PM Divershav. Because we're not going to rely on what they say. And there isn't a strong enough Uman Lomar Amnase, apparently. Umiu Imtira Haisha Shapasak Dam Vestam Viriyasa Alpi Harifuos. Sorry. And Tira Isha Shapasak Dam Vestam Viriyas Alpi Refuas. If a woman sees that this medical treatment caused a cessation of her regular Re'iyah, the Nikr Shoilu, and you could tell that it had an effect, Nirin Advarim Sheesh Lismach Afal Pigoi, Sharei Adavar Zer Refua Yeshlo Kiehida Filu Chareristam, Amarevin Nisrapezu. So he says, if it's a non-Jewish doctor, you can't rely on them, even if they tell you that they affected a refuah, unless there's a track record and the representation of the doctor is corroborated by facts on the ground. As if the doctor says, I prescribed a refuah, and you're not going to see Dam Achmas Tashmish anymore. You're not going to see the expected dam. So you can't rely on the representation of the Nochri alone. But if the Nochri says that and it translated into action, I'm not sure how you would, in the context of Rav Machmas Tashmish, I'm not sure what he means in terms of what license you have to try. I mean, he's saying that the dam stopped. So she sees that dam vesta stopped. At least talking about a case where the refuah is that he's going to stop all regular bleeding. So then if she sees that her regular bleeding stopped, then that corroborates the doctor's representation. And then she'd be Muteris B'Tashmish. I'm not sure exactly what the facts are in terms of the process, but the theory that the Agos Maimonides is saying is that if you have a non-Jewish doctor that says, I've cured you, And the siman is that you're not going to see dam anymore, and then in practice she doesn't see dam anymore. So then that seems to corroborate the representation of the non-Jewish doctor, and you can rely on that and potentially engage in tashmish from that point on.
Where does your nemanus come from?
The nemanus of a non-Jewish doctor? So we'll get to that, but for now, let's assume some form of umen lomarim nase, which is what the Jewish maimonides at least referenced. The professional standing that he's not going to make a misrepresentation if that could harm his professional reputation.
Where's that Gemara? That's a Gemara.
I'm sorry?
That's a Gemara.
Lomelo Rav Nase comes up in different contexts. It's in Avodah Zarah. Is it Daf Yud Aleph first?
He's not making
it up. Comes up. I'm sorry.
It's like a known concept.
Yeah, I mean, you have it by the Mothers of Kfeila in the beginning of Isavat there. You have in a couple of contexts in Avodah Zarah. Yeah.
Well, in Ezra Heter, it's pretty. People don't love it in Ezra Heter anymore.
Right.
It seems like it's one of those things that we really don't use anymore and you stay very far away from.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, is it like somehow re engaged in Hazos Nida in a way that.
Well, we're not. Let's go slowly. I'm just getting ahead of ourselves. Okay. Maybe we'll stop here. Yeah, okay, so we have more to talk about on this topic. We're just scratching the surface now. But take a look, I gave you the Mamar Komas, take a look at the Gemara Kaf Beis and Rebeis with the Chuvas Harash Klal Beis, Simon Yudches, and the Tosei Rash on the side of the Gemara. There's an important Chas and Sofer that the Pesukei Tshuva quotes in Sifkatan Lamed, Chas and Sofer is Chelik Beis Simin Kuf Nun Ches. Piskei Tshuva is Lamed Ches. And you take a look at the other Mar Mekomas I send you. And then we'll talk a little bit next time about some of the practicalities of ascertaining that there is a Maka once we establish who we can rely on. If you have a Piskei Das, Rabbi Morgenstern will be going through his analysis of the potential pitfalls of boat coat and how to use it properly. And we'll try to finish up this topic next time and then move on to Psicha Sakever.